With our fifth season pretty much in the books and the off season upon us, we decided it might be time to try to replay some of our favorite episodes, including some or all of the Patreon-only content from the original release. If you're enjoying these replays, please let us know, and we'll keep them going all summer long. This week, as we are doing this for the very first time, we go all the way back to the end of the first season and our first interview with the voice of the Huskies, Dirk Hembroff. We hope you enjoy.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast. This week, the regular crew is joined by the voice of the Huskies and the host of the Dirk Side on 93.5 FM WKMJ. Dirk Hembroff. Thanks for joining us, Dirk.
I just want to thank you guys for having me.
We'll pick Dirk's brain on covering the team over the years, including managing the weekly radio shows. Plus, we'll discuss Jamie Phillips heading back to Houghton, Matt Roy getting a chance to rep the LA Kings for the NHL Players Association, and the CCHA commissioner situation. Anything big I'm missing, guys?
No, that sounds like the news for now.
All right. Before we jump to the thank you notes, we have a few new patrons that I'd like to recognize. Tim Thorne, Craig Anderson, Brian Whedon, and our very own Mike Antleitner all signed up since our last podcast in mid-May. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it, and we'll continue to find ways to improve our content for all. For all of our patrons, if you would like to join Tim, Craig, Brian, Mike, and the rest of our patrons at whatever level, please check out patreon.com/techhockeyguide. All right, time for the thank you notes plus a brief note from our sponsor, and we'll come back and start with questions for Dirk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIATech.net.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
All right, Dirk. So how long have you been doing this now?
This will be my 19th year of officially taking over for Bobbles.
Okay.
So 18 in the can, and I was with him. His last year, helped him out and filled in for him a few times the decade before. But yeah, officially taking over for Bob, this will be my 19th year.
Man, it does not seem like it's been that long. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Bob. That's who we listened to.
Absolutely,
know.
Yeah.
You know, so when we started, and I think a lot of our audience is a little bit too young to know and have heard Bob before. But I kind of, if you ask me, Bob's kind of like the Bob Uecker for the Brewers of Husky hockey, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just an icon. I mean, it was, such a small town radio situation, but he brought a giant size enthusiasm to it without question. And I mean, there is the one guy that ate, slept, breathed Michigan Tech hockey and Michigan Tech sports in general.
Yep. Well, I mean, he had the national reach with it too, with the poll that a lot of people didn't realize was there for a long time too.
Yeah, different, completely different era. Obviously, no internet, or at least internet wasn't big. And yeah, the guy, I still remember the board operators for Bob's games. I mean, literally sweating profusely, you know, trying to keep up with playing ads for the games and keeping track of people calling in for scores. And then obviously at the end of the night, every Friday and Saturday night, that person running the board would have to go and call all of the venues, get a score, and then record it old school style on a answering machine, so that when people called the team line or called the Wimple line, whatever, they could sit there on the phone and get the scores every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever.
And Dustin, you and Tim know what Dirk's talking about there, actually?
Yeah. I kind of think we did a piece on the history of that when we started our poll in the early stages of the Tech Hockey Guide. But I didn't know that until, oh, I don't know, probably 3-4 years into Misfits before I even realized all that stuff happened. Because I think actually my first year of school, so you started in like 98, 99? Or is that a little too far back?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
I mean, I was there, but I took over for Bob officially in the 2002-03 season.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. You took over before I became a fan. I was at school, but I didn't really like the whole Misfits birth stuff happened after you started the year
right.
after that.
Right. So. And you guys are talking about the poll too. I guess I was talking about the score line, but yeah, the poll
where
Etta, his wife, every Monday morning would sit on the phone for an hour and call coaches to gather the poll votes, and then that would be released. And that was the national poll. It was all done manually. There was no emailing stuff in or anything like that. It was old school, but it was cool.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a fun little bit of hockey history that I don't think a lot of current Tech fans may know about. That Michigan Tech was the national poll. Wimple was the national poll for a long time. Right. Before there was a USCHO poll, before there was the other poll too that's out there, the US News
USA
poll,
Today, right? Yeah.
Well, I think the USA Today poll took over. I think that was the takeover of the Wimple poll. I'm not positive on that, but I think that's what the case was.
Because I believe it might be like a year of overlap or so. I don't think there's much though.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Tech's got a lot of history that people don't realize. I think at times, especially some of the folks that we know that learn the Discord channel that. Our recent fans or current students don't necessarily know some of that history behind it. That's, you know, when you've had a program that's been around for 100 years, there's a lot of stories out there that can probably be retold. And that's definitely one of them.
Definitely. So on Facebook, Scotty, oh man, Geverink asked, in all your years of announcing Tech hockey, who in your opinion has been the best player to put on an MTU jersey? And we'll let you try and answer that from 02 forward or just in general who you've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I would start from when I was, as a kid, I watched Tech hockey and had, you know, idols back in those days too. But right off the bat, as far as favorites, especially early on, Chris Connor was maybe the most fun player to watch and broadcast. He was the Barry Sanders of Tech hockey. I mean, he was.
That is a perfect analogy, a bright light in dark times.
Yeah, I mean, really, and where he literally was somebody that people would go to watch him play and was a big draw. I still remember Jamie Russell, rightfully so, sat him out in an exhibition game against one of the Canadian schools that came in for the first game. And it was like Jamie's second year, I think, and absolutely the right thing to do as far as the big picture. But boy, there were a lot of people really disappointed coming to that exhibition game to find out he was not going to be in the lineup. So, you know, without a doubt, he was one of the most exciting players to watch. And of course, went on to a bit of a surprisingly long professional career. I mean, and to make the show and play with guys like Sid the Kid and stuff like that. Pretty impressive. He was something special.
And he was still playing in professionally as of when the season ended this last year.
Yeah, he's still playing.
That's an impressive career.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think without him and Colin Murphy, we probably wouldn't have Misfits because they made those years way more fun than they probably should have been for how bad they were.
Mm-hmm. And we do have to remember how good the WCHA was at that time, too.
I mean, oh, yeah.
It was... well, we all know. I mean, it was an all-star league. It was pretty impressive, and consecutive year after year after year of Hobie Baker winners and national champions. You know, so. But yeah, it was a different time, and Chris Conner definitely stood out in those early years.
Either you guys got any questions? I have a couple more from patrons, but.
Well, let's go through the patron questions first, then we can go.
So Mark Bailey. Via Patreon was curious, what is your favorite Husky moment during your career covering them?
There are two that really stand out. There are certainly about a dozen that are big. It'll be tough unless we win a national championship to surpass what happened against Bowling Green 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess, whatever that was. That was just as a broadcaster, one of the perfect storms you could ever ask for. You could not really draw it up much better than that. Home crowd, just the way we got the home championship game, having to have an upset somewhere else in the playoff, in the postseason there for that to happen. And then to have a double overtime breakaway goal. I mean, you can't write it up any better than that. It's almost, destiny thing, I guess, kind of comes into it. And almost as if, God's looking down and said, okay, boys, that's it. You guys aren't going to win another game. It's going to be bad after this, but this is your moment here. And there's a lot of things played into that next game not being very, very good for the Huskies. But, yeah, that one really stands out. It'll be hard. It was hard to overtake the Northern Michigan 7-6 overtime win when Jamie Russell was in his first year, and I know you guys all remember that. So it was.
I remember it, listening to you announce it in the car because we left early.
Yeah, I had a lot of people tell me that. A lot of people tell me they got to the bottom of McGinnis Drive.
That's about where we were,
and turned around.
That was the first Michigan Tech hockey game that I ever saw in my freshman year. So that one had to be away.
Yeah.
You know what's special when I can tell you the date whenever you bring it up, October 18th, 2003.
Yeah. Well, and what a lot of people forget, who maybe weren't as focused on that game as we were, there was a lot that played into not only that game, but the night before when Tech lost in overtime. I think it was a 5-on-3 power play goal. And I think Chris Conner had whatever it was. It was intense that game too. And it was a very tough ride home after that game. And to come away with that 7-6 victory, being down three goals with two and some change left to go, was pretty incredible.
I do think that's one of my favorite things about the realignment, is that us and Northern being in the same league and getting to play those games on a regular basis and getting four of them every year and ending the year every year with Northern. Because I think one of the big positives of the realignment, those series now have, they're regularly there, and it hasn't diminished the fun of the series at all in any way.
And it's fun that both teams are relevant now. For so many years, they're only fun games because there was a rival series, right? But now both teams are playing for more than that. Both teams are good on the way up, I think. So I think it's only going to get better in the next few years.
Yep, I would agree with you. That's why we try to make the drive up to Marquette. It's our second, one of our shortest trips we can make from down here in the Valley in Wisconsin. Yeah. So we try to make it up for that series most of the time.
I think the recruiting aspect of it too has the fact that these two teams now are really battling on the recruiting trail for a lot of the same players, it seems like. And, with the portal now in place, it just widens that, that friendly hatred for each other, I think, and makes it makes it what it should be. It should be a rivalry that that these two schools and the two teams don't like each other, and that's how it's turned out to be. And you talk about they're both relevant. There have been times where one team has been relevant and the other team hasn't, or they've switched throughout the years. But yeah, for them to be pretty equal these days, it makes a lot more fun.
Well, it's always fun to, you know, like the last couple of years we've gone there and ended their season, which is enjoyable of itself. But then you also get, you know, going out around town afterwards or talking to fans at the arena before you leave, you get that UP camaraderie about it where they're like, all right, you guys are the ones that are moving on. We're rooting for you now, you know, right. Which is a unique bit, I think, from a rivalry standpoint. You're not going to hear that between Minnesota and North Dakota, you know, or State and the Wolverines. You're not going to get that kind of friendly, all right, we're rooting for you guys now that you've left the UP and you've left us behind kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is a unique aspect of the rivalry for sure.
Yeah, we got that a lot when we were out after the game, the championship game, when we were out in Marquette and talking with a lot of Northern fans and, you know, giving them crap and them giving it back. And all in the end, it was very friendly and, you know, it's a healthy rivalry, but it's not malicious, which is nice.
Well, it's the same thing you see with any type of UP sports from high schools down, right? You know, there's a reason why anytime someone comes back across the bridge for playing downstate, they get an escort from St. Ignace, right? Mm-hmm. UP teams all back each other, and it's one of the nice, unique aspects of the UP itself. So, and you see it, like I said, with Tech and Northern even. It makes it – it's definitely a fun little side effect of the rivalry for sure.
Except for that little man. We don't really like him.
there's a difference between liking the players and liking the team, right?
Right.
I don't know. The stuff that went on at the end of this year is like the perfect bite to me. It's not over the top, but it's enough that both fan bases are getting riled up about what the other team is doing. That's the fun of a rivalry. That's what you should see.
The thing that I really noticed lately is, and I guess it's been always been there, but these kids coming in, you know, the few kids that we have coming in from Western Canada and, you know, wherever, you know, that are far, far away, never had anything to do with the Michigan Tech Northern rivalry, and how quickly these kids, when they join the Huskies, realize and genuinely have it in their fiber, the rivalry and what it all means. And to me, that's what it's all about. If the players don't care, I mean, they can say that, you know, we don't like Northern or Northern, you know, Northern doesn't like Tech, and we know the fans don't like it and stuff like that. But if they don't, you know, if they don't genuinely feel that that rivalry in their gut, you're not going to get that same that edge, I guess, going out there. These kids, I think, on both teams, get it right away. That's one thing I've really noticed in the last 3 or 4 years, or maybe I've paid more attention to it. But it's pretty. And when guys have to sit out for those games, they are very, very unhappy. So that's a good thing.
Well, I think it helps too with, you know, the Misfits always bring a big group, and all that tension that's been created the last couple of years over how many tickets we get to Northern games, specifically playoff games, has just added to it. And the players can feed off that with the Misfits there being loud the whole time. Like that championship game, like I don't know, like somehow that game was fun from beginning to end, even though it was, what, 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy how much tension there was in the building and all the cheering and chanting and everything going on, that, like, it's hard not to just for everybody to just soak up that rivalry and just have fun with it.
Let me tell you from a broadcaster's point of view, I mean, everywhere we go, as you guys know, the Misfits, you guys travel so unbelievably well, and it gives us goosebumps when we go someplace else and we see that, and we see the other you know, the other staff that's working the press box or whatever, and they shake their head. They can't get over it, especially when we go someplace new like Arizona State or somewhere that we're not usually there. Huntsville.
I can't believe they bust to Huntsville. That still is mind-boggling to me. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, how about Fairbanks? I mean, every year up in Fairbanks.
I've made the trip twice myself.
Yeah, I know. And it's just like, how does this happen? But it does. And
there's nothing better than going to an opposing rink and having it be over Thanksgiving so all their students are gone.
Right.
And you can be the only loud people in the building. It's a really good time.
But there's a genuine – what's so cool, though, is – you're kind of talking about with the rivalry with Northern Michigan. There, you know, there's a genuine admiration from the home fans to you guys and the Misfits and everything that are there. They really admire what is done. They applaud it. They welcome it, as we do here at the McGinnis Student Ice Arena, though it doesn't happen as much as maybe we would like it to see some of those other teams travel a little bit better. But it's really enjoyed by the other schools to see that. And kind of, it's a blueprint for what can happen, I think, what other schools should be doing. And I think that's, some of them are taking notice of it.
Well, Northern sent a pretty good contingent of students up this year for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents' seats are over there in Section G, so they're always where the guest block is as well, right? So they get surrounded by whoever comes, typically. So this year was one of the first times where, you know, both my mom and dad were texting, complaining about all the Northern fans in their section kind of thing. And I remember growing up that there was a lot more of that. We'd be filled, the section would be filled with like Badger fans or filled with Minnesota mm-hmm. fans that were coming over. And that really hasn't happened as much, I don't think, in the last few years. Like you're saying, it's the traveling from the other side has gone down as the geography of the league has spread out.
But I think there's something unique about Michigan Tech. You see those, you're talking about the Badgers and even the Fighting Sioux and the Gophers and stuff like that. And everybody's, you know, that's impressive and everything. But what makes the Huskies travel so cool is that it is from such a small school and a small town. And I think that's what blows people away.
Yep. Yeah, when you have to explain, no, you're not Michigan State, or no, you're not Michigan, when you're in some other place, it's always a fun time.
We had to once explain that we weren't Nebraska in Colorado Springs.
At the Golden Bee in Colorado Springs, some lady saw us and was like, go Huskers! And we're like, no.
Oh, no.
Not the right colors.
That was the three-game playoff series we won out there.
Mm-hmm.
The first time in my career that happened, because it's happened twice, I think, right? Both times mm-hmm. that we made the Final Five in the old league were beat before, like, since 2000 or whatever, before the long gap of getting to the Final Five. Yeah.
I think my favorite accidental running in and having to explain ourselves still is that first Arizona State tournament at the Eagle River Arena, where we went outside into the college game day thing, and it was like the seven or eight Tech fans on – was surrounded by Clemson and Alabama fans, and everybody's looking at us as we walked out of the hockey rink, and we did DDX and made a bunch of noise and then just left, and everyone was super confused. But yeah, that kind of stuff and traveling is fun. And I suppose you get to see that all there because you're traveling as well. So
yeah, it's cool.
So I assume on all those trips, are you riding the team bus? You're riding with somebody else like Calvin, or how are you getting there?
It changes from trip to trip. When I first started, I went with the team everywhere because I didn't know these places. I wasn't familiar with any of the away rinks or the away towns for that matter. So I would take the bus. I had a completely different job along with everything I did in radio. So I was working basically two full-time jobs. And so when that was happening, the team was leaving earlier and earlier. They're leaving Wednesdays nights, you know, and stuff like that. I just could not afford to be taking that much time off. So I, for a good 5, 6, 7 years, I pretty much drove everywhere, unless you had to fly, and drove back the night, the same night that the game was done on Saturday, and drive all the way home. But that really wore on me. That wore on my wife, worrying about me. And so now I'm in a different situation now, employment wise, and so I'm able to go more with the team these days, but it depends on the trip.
Okay. All right, last question we got from a patron is our very own Mike Antliner was wondering if you ever got discouraged, found it hard to muster enthusiasm when Tech was really bad.
I get that question a lot, and yes, but no. I always come back with this. I did high school sports for many years, over a decade. And as much as I loved doing high school sports, the most intense high school sports still, in my opinion, didn't compare to doing some of the worst Michigan Tech hockey games. So I'll stand by that. And I never thought people should feel sorry for me or anything like that. I loved it. Yeah, it was hard. Was it hard on the road when you get whipped pretty good and you got to sit there on Friday night and all day Saturday and wait for another possible tough game against, one of the top teams in the nation night after night after night. But, you had a chance to do something big every night to upset one of them. So that's how I always looked at it.
With traveling all across, right, everywhere you go. How do you think it looks with us starting to go out east a little bit more? You looking forward to those trips instead to go to somewhere new finally?
Yeah, I mean, I really have, even in my personal life, I've not really been out east. I've been to the Floridas, I've been to obviously the Alaskas and all that stuff. I really haven't been out east. And with the, you know, we were at Bridgeport, right?
Yep.
For the playoffs here. But other than that, I do like New York State. I know when we've gone there with Canton and these teams that we're playing now, I enjoy that. I really do. I envy those teams out there, being able to play a game on a Tuesday night with one team and play a game on Friday night with another team and then Saturday night with another team. And that's something that we don't really, can't comprehend really, in that we have to play two game set series almost every time because of our geography. So, yeah, I think it's cool. I wish we could do more, as I think you hear Joe Sean say, do more of the travel partner thing where we go out there and play a couple of different schools and Northern does, or whoever goes with us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm going to try to get to when we go back to Clarkson this year, because we're going back again this year. I'm hoping to make the trip this time. My parents made the trip
last year, but I wasn't able to go. So that's one that I want to get to as well, because I've never been to upstate New York either. So it's a good excuse to see some of the country and see Tech hockey play at the same time. So
absolutely,
that travel is fantastic. So I'm hoping to make it down to Huntsville now that they're going to play this year as well, if we get there, just to get that one in before anything bad or whatnot happens there, of course. But
right,
you know, it's always good to get a new barn in, and I'm trying to get to all the WCHA ones before it changes too. But all these non-conference ones are more exciting. You don't know when they're going to come around again, so I got to go for the long trips instead.
It's always nice to see new places, and you always want to see how the press box is set up and, you know, all those things that broadcasters and media look at. And it's cool. Even going to Arizona State, I mean, obviously going to Arizona was not an issue, but, that rink, it was fun because you had to.
What exactly were you guys on there? And it looked like you were literally on scaffolding.
yeah, it wasn't much more than that. I have quite a sizable cut on my head to prove that, but it was about 7 feet off of the ground and just behind the benches there, but still cool. I mean, right on, if there's such a thing as being too close to the action, that was too close to the action. You really could not get a good wide visual of what's going on the ice. The guys were literally 8-9 feet away from you, so it was pretty different.
That's how we all felt watching the video feed too, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a rough one to watch on the video feed.
Yeah.
You can't get any
sense of what's
going on, and it's super, just to keep up with the players, the camera pan has to be so fast, and it almost makes you feel seasick watching one of those in those tiny rinks like Anchorage is doing and like Arizona State's doing.
Right.
Those two have been fun, frustrating ones for that, for sure, to see. I'm not sure if Anchorage is playing again this year in the small rink, aren't they? They're not changing back.
I have not heard that they're changing back. Yeah,
so the whole Alaska picture is, you know, something we talked about quite a bit, but hopefully that resolves itself in one way or the other here soon enough.
Right.
So there's not the uncertainty behind it for those guys up there. But so when you do travel, I assume, you know most of the other radio guys around the league as well, right? You sit down, you talk to them, right?
Yeah.
I've always wondered from a radio perspective, do you guys actually sit down and exchange like name pronunciations and stuff like that? Is that a little behind the scenes thing you guys run through before for each other?
Oh, absolutely. I usually end up asking their play-by-play guy on any of the new guys and even some of the old guys. I mean, I really have gotten bad at remembering pronunciations from year to year, so I have to refresh my memory. And that happens just about every weekend for sure.
You got to imagine it's fun to explain the three different pronunciations of Pietola to people.
I've done that a couple of times. That one.
This one's that one.
I'm glad somebody still remembers what I had to go through that year.
That had to have been just awful. I struggle with just the downstate pronunciation, let alone from the Houghton Hancock pronunciation.
Well, the struggle was whether or not I was doing the right thing. I mean, I went right to the family.
Yeah.
and asked, okay, well, we got three guys here, how do you want me to differentiate them on the ice? do we go with all three different pronunciations? And I think Blake said yes, and Aaron was okay with it, and Chad said, oh, what the heck? And then I actually talked to the mom, and they said, okay. Well, it didn't take too long with Grandpa Fiatla listening. He said, no, you go with one pronunciation. I said, thank you. So
that's fantastic.
Grandpa wins.
Yeah. Well, Bob Olson said the only thing that every person has is their name, and try to get it right. He was the one that, and I get it wrong a lot, but that was one thing he always said, you know, try to get their name right, because that's what's going to make people think that you're not on your game more than anything else. So
yeah, I'll admit that's the first thing I'll notice for you know, I don't usually listen to you on the away games because I'm watching the video feed, and I like to listen to the home announcer on the video feed. I can't handle doing the sync the two things together thing.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to take the time to do that. I'll usually listen to the home feed, with the exception of sometimes over the last few years Huntsville has been a bit too rough to listen to. But other than that, I'll definitely listen to the home announcer. And if the names are getting pronounced wrong, that's by far one of my biggest pet peeves with a game being called, for sure.
So what's the hardest part about doing the weekly, monthly, however you want, the Joe Sean Hour or the Mel Pearson Show stuff?
The hardest part about it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really look at it as being difficult, I guess. Trying to be relevant with it, I wish I had more time to put more into it. To prepare. I mean, I prepare, obviously, all the goals and stuff like that. But it'd be better if we could get if it was at a time where we could get coaches on and other, you know, team representatives on. But you know, I'm starting to look at it more and more as the technology now is so out there. These coaches are interviewed 6-7 times a week, with the same questions being posed to them, that I really take that into consideration, not only with, you know, not trying to drag people on for the Joe Sean Hour, but also, you know, when I do my interviews on Friday nights before the weekend, you know, these coaches, and I think people tire of hearing these coaches having to answer the same questions. So, it's a different time right now, and I guess I'm okay with just Joe or a player on with us. I think most people are okay with that. But I wish I had more time to really put more into that hour. I just hope that it's enough the way it is right now.
I mean, we consciously, at least for us doing the weekly podcast, we make sure we don't do some of the stuff that you cover, right? We try to on purpose not cover each goal. And in the actual, you know, like a breakdown of the game, because you guys do such a good job of covering it on the Monday show, mm-hmm. It'd just be redundant for us to do it on the podcast too.
Right.
So. Or even recaps. Like
we stopped doing them.
We don't do recaps because you get that at USCHO. You guys talk about it on the show. Like the people who are listening to us watch the games, listen to the games for the most part, or already looked at the box score. They don't need more. They need us to try and give them like what big takeaway we noticed versus like a specific moment. But the other thing I was wondering about, like, so how do you invest much into like weeding through all the questions? Cause I like the more we listen, the more you see how much, and I don't really want to call out fans per se, but like you can tell that they know how to push Joe's buttons. Mm. Like it comes out in the questions that they're trying to get him to go someplace, and it's obvious that that's where the question's going. And the whole, like, I mean, we've talked about it over and over again about the millennials and all that kind of stuff and the difference of the kids these days kind of things. And you can just see that the questions are leading Joe somewhere sometimes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and what's been so great about Joe and with Mel since we started doing the shows again, that, you know, they, for the most part, they'll answer just about any question. Maybe they won't give exactly the answer that people are looking for because they have to, you know, there is something in the unknown for the general public, you know, or not knowing, but for the most part, they answer. And if there's a question that I think is A, gonna, like you said, lead him in the direction that maybe isn't the best for the programmer, and I will brief him on it ahead of time if I can. But a lot of times I just shoot right there. As I mean, sometimes, as you probably can listen to the show, there's questions that are coming in, you know, 2 minutes before the end of the show, and we're trying to get those in. So it depends, but we try to try to make sure that we don't go down too many rabbit holes there.
Yeah, I have a much greater appreciation of live content after doing this a while, and Tim gets to touch it up afterwards. You know, being on there live and having it just go out and be what's going out, that's a whole different ballgame, and I have a big appreciation for those of you guys that do live radio like that. I see a little bit behind the scenes of what we're doing here now.
You mean that Tim spends like 7 hours the night after we record to edit by touching up?
So we don't have your giant tangents about what was it, two times? I don't know. Like, I left like a 10-minute segment in for the patrons that was all about.
It was
I don't even remember. Was it about the Expanse or something?
And we did talk about the Expanse one time. I don't know how we got on that, but.
Because we had Jeff on, so you wanted to ask him about it because he works for NASA.
Oh yeah, he's a rocket scientist. Yeah.
So yeah, it's been fun. Like, and I totally do appreciate you guys doing the live stuff more now after going through this, and I know I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to editing this thing, because kind of how you say, like, you know, the only thing they have is their name. I'm trying to make it sound good, because at least, even if people don't like the content, at least they won't be annoyed with how it sounds when they listen.
We Mel wanted to take questions live on the air, and you have no filter at that point. If you let somebody start, I mean, fresh with no delay, nothing, you know, nothing like that, you could get in big trouble. So yeah, I kind of said, no, we should probably go by email here, and at least we have the ability to filter something out if something comes in.
That reminds me of, like, it's a Youpers skit on one of their old albums where the guy is calling into the talk radio and he's trying to sell different types of manure. And so it's, I've got that cheap chit for sale. I got that cow chit for sale, you know, he goes through it. Yeah, same thing. And the guy that's doing the skit he freaks out, and they're off the air for a while in the skit. You know, same thing, right? He corrects the guy because there's old ladies and children listening, is what he says. But yeah, we don't have that problem. Tim can edit and bleep things if he wants to.
Yep, and I have.
Yeah, it's probably me most of the time. Yeah, it's a different ball game for sure.
You think we'll have a season this year?
I do. I think it's going to look very different, but I think we'll have a season. Gosh, I hope so. I really, you look at what Bretzman, Bliss, Berrettino, Logan Pietola coming on at the end. I mean, I cannot wait to watch these guys back on the ice. I just cannot wait to watch these guys back on the ice and find out what's going to happen with goaltending and defense, which I think will be okay there. But I cannot wait to see what these juniors are going to be able to do this year.
No, I've had this coming season circled basically since you saw that freshman class 2 years ago, because you knew that, like, I like the, well, I guess some of them left now, but I like the senior class that's left as far as, like, leadership and drive and being. Like, obviously they didn't get letters, but like Misiak is a guy whose engine never stops.
No.
So you've got a certain group that's there, and then like they just keep getting better. And that junior class, like this year and next year, like you have to have that circled as far as like expecting the team to be home ice and better the next 2 years. And I look forward to seeing what happens. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if fans are not allowed to be there and there's just games, and that's going to be very different for Michigan Tech in particular with your road travel and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you talk about Misiak. I mean, he's such a good, I mean, how somebody can be the unsung hero every year. I mean, he's just one of those guys that has the ability to be the unsung hero every year. He is the guy that really kind of makes everybody else go, and you don't even realize it sometimes. just, and there is no player that gives such a consistent performance night after night.
Yeah, and he doesn't always make the score sheet, but if you're actually paying attention to the game, he's out there making things happen.
And he makes guys around him better. That's really what you want from a guy like that.
Yep. Yeah. It's so. Yeah. This year is one, like Tim said, I'm looking forward to as well from a class perspective, and things feel like culture wise is finally starting to click properly. Started, you know, this year, so hopefully we see a good year. And if it's without fans or whatever, I hope it doesn't come to that. But it's been really weird for me. I'm a big soccer fan, watching the German league with no fans. It's downright strange. Mm-hmm. But to watch video of where you can hear literally everything that's being said on the ice, because there's nothing else there, right? So being able to hear all the players yelling and no fan atmosphere whatsoever is definitely an interesting thing. And it just takes a piece of the game away.
It that certainly does.
Is a big part of the entertainment.
It is, and we're trying to figure out if we're going to have to pump in any old crowd noise or anything like that for our games, like Fox is planning on doing with those football games with Joe Buck and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yep. I really hope the NFL and the other leagues find a way to kind of have like a simulcast, so we can hear all the players and everything unedited on one channel if we really want to. Because I would love to hear the coaches and everything, and the players interacting with each other way more than we get right now if there's no fans. Like, I want the option to do that so you can hear, like, the audibles and everything else going on and not just the crowd noise. But who knows? It'll definitely be weird. I know I watched a little bit of Korean baseball the other day, and they had, like, the posters and all the seats and sections in the outfield, and it's just weird, like, seeing, like, fake people out there.
Well, yeah, like I said, it underscores how much the sports games aren't just the game itself. It's the atmosphere around the stadium. It's the, you know, meeting up with other fans and the actual excitement of the game itself. That's a huge part of the value of the game, right? Otherwise, it just feels like a scrimmage at practice. You know, yeah. That intensity is naturally missing when you don't have somebody, people in the stands yelling at you or for you.
Dustin, who was that? Like, we went to the Yankees Twins playoff game way back when at the Metrodome, and the one guy rounded sink it because he heard the roar of the crowd and got tagged out when he wouldn't have gone if the crowd hadn't roared. So you have all those kind of things too.
I remember that. I remember that. I do not remember who it was.
I think it was Nick Punto.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting taking that out of the game, especially, like we said earlier, the Michigan Tech perspective of us traveling so well and creating atmosphere when maybe there isn't as much on the road.
I remember at that game sitting behind in a obstructed seats because we were like behind a post or something like that, and that in like the second to the top row of the Metrodome. Yep. And then having earbuds in, trying to listen to Tech at Lake State, I think, one of the first games of the season, and we were at a playoff game and trying to listen to the Tech game.
Yeah, I remember that because I think we had one phone going and we each had one earbud in.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
I think we all have a story of listening to Dirk somewhere where we weren't supposed to be listening to Dirk and getting in trouble.
maybe weddings or.
I know for a fact I've had Dirk in my ear at Broadway shows.
I remember falling asleep to Dirk at deer camp trying to listen to the Alaska games and then turn around and get up at like 5:30 to go deer hunting.
Wow. That's impressive.
I listened to the end of the end of an Alaska game right when I woke up early to catch a flight in Sweden once.
Yeah, wow. We Scott Yeager and I outdrank a bunch of Scotsmen at a wedding in Scotland and stayed up listening to you as well. Everybody else went to bed. We kept drinking and listening to the hockey games. I actually got ourselves locked out of getting back into our hotel room and had to sleep on couches because none of us had cards to get back in. The sun came up while we were listening to hockey. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, your voice makes it all around the world because of that.
We When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at fibkedental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is FIBKEDental.com.
All right, Dirk. Well, we've probably taken enough of your time and can cover a couple other things here without you if you want to go.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a great job, and I hope we do have a season.
Yeah,
we all do
for sure.
I'm tired of Zoom meetings.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. I'm thankful I haven't had too many other than our Tech Hockey Guide stuff, so that's been good.
It's a WebEx and Zoom is my work life right now for a lot of it, so I've had enough.
Yeah. Well. All right. Yeah, well, thanks guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us, Dirk. All right, so I had notes on three things that we can, well, four things I guess we can talk about. Jamie Phillips, we found out officially now that Jamie Phillips is heading back to Houghton for grad school, and he will be a volunteer assistant helping with goaltending. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I really can't think of a better situation for Tech to get, you know, somebody with connection to the program in the skill level that he had, that he can help nurture these goaltenders that we have. And that can kind of tie into the fact that we are now allowed to say the name Garrett Metcalf on the podcast. Cause he,
oh, are we now? Okay.
Yeah. He mentioned it on some podcast. It's not official yet, but it's in the public domain.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about it anymore.
There's been plenty of speculation on Discord about it. Yeah, for sure. And people have been tiptoeing around it. So that's nice to know that we can actually say so. He's coming from, it's from Mercyhurst, right?
Yep.
So,
and he's drafted by the Ducks.
Well, last time we had a Ducks draft pick, it was a fairly good season, yeah, right?
Yeah. Right. He would be Michigan Tech is his third team though, because he started off at Lowell, transferred out of there, went to Mercyhurst, and now he's grad transferring to Tech.
It's not the first time we've done that either, though.
No, and maybe if we get a chance to talk to Cam some other time, we'll ask him a little bit more about what he knows, because he was a coach when Garrett
was at Lowell. Yeah. Well, with Bedouin leaving, you got to fill that gap somehow. So that's what the transfer portal is there for. I'm glad you're not scrambling to find, you know, another freshman to bring in and can actually bring somebody in. I think it worked out well.
I think Metcalf is a guy that Joe wanted, you know, towards the top of his list, maybe even the top available grad transfer. So Jamie Phillips, we didn't really talk about him. What do you guys think about having him back?
I think it's fantastic. I have a goalie that's got some professional experience, that played really well while he was at Tech, knows Tech well, knows the culture. So you're not bringing somebody in that doesn't necessarily, you know, understand Houghton, right? I think it's the perfect opportunity for him to be able to come in and work on his grad stuff and coach at the same time. That's, you can't ask for a better way to take care of that, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good pickup for all involved, it seems like, which is always a positive. He should be a good voice for the team.
It always drives me nuts too when you see like the number of coaches per team for different sports at the NCAA level, right? Like a basketball team that has 13 players, I think gets three coaches, right? Typically.
I think it's more than three.
Right. So and then you look
I think
at
it's
hockey,
like three or four. Then like I really don't understand why hockey doesn't have four paid coaches because you have three positions and a head coach. Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me why hockey is hamstrung with three. You could definitely use, you know, like you said, all the positions having their own type of coach. Then football basically has a team of coaches. You literally could play basketball with your football coaches. You've got enough people to make a basketball team out of them. You know, yeah. So it's super frustrating to me that the NCAA only gives three to hockey, but it is what it is, and most teams make do with that, and they have the other, you know. So we'll actually have two volunteer coaches then, right, at that point.
Why is that?
Shalast is still there, right? And
he's not a volunteer coach. He's a strength and conditioning coach for the team.
So he's considered a paid position then? Okay.
And he's only allowed to be on the bench if one of the other three coaches is recruiting.
Okay, I guess I hadn't picked
like,
up on
they're that. Only allowed to have three guys on the bench for a game. So even if Jamie travels, he can't be on the bench. Like, it's still the same. Sure. Between Tyler and Jamie, only one of them can be on the bench. They could both travel and one could be in the box, but not on the bench, I think.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that goes to show, though. I mean, you have former players that are back that have a desire to come back and contribute back to the team after they're done with hockey themselves. So it just goes to show how good the program does with the alumni.
Agreed.
I think it's a really good thing.
The other thing that I saw come across the news at some point or Twitter or whatever is that Matt Roy, former Husky, has been named the NHL Player Association rep for the LA Kings. I think that must say a lot about him personally, that his team, you know, the program expects him to be an contributing part of the team all year, because why would you pick a rep that's not expected to be on the Kings all year? And then to have him be, you know, for as young as he is, that he's chosen to be the rep for a team like the Kings, that says a lot to me.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. It's part and gets him in part of the hockey world that's not necessarily the playing part too, right? He's going to have a role there that you don't necessarily have just playing. So, you know, like I said, it's a big amount of trust from the rest of the team to nominate him to be that and for him to do that. So it's good to see for sure. How much of a time outlay is that, do you know? Like, what's their actual commitments for that? I've honestly no idea. I don't really pay.
I honestly don't know. I really don't know what the commitment is for something like that.
I've said before, the only time I watch the NHL is to, you know, watch a tech player play. So
yeah.
I tend not to care too much about it, which is very different from most hockey fans that I know.
So the other thing I had on my list was we could touch on, because I think we talked about Huntsville canceling the program, but like when we recorded, that was the week before, like they canceled, but we didn't know they saved. Yet. So
yeah.
So now they're saved. And then we've also got LIU. We can kind of talk a little bit more about Mitch Meek transferring there.
Yeah, they've been stocking up on the transfers. Like the whole transfer portal basically has become a shark, or the sharks, right? And there's some kind of fish thing. Yeah. They just, I think I saw on Twitter this last couple of days that they got two goalies from Hockey East. So they're going to be able to hit the ground running with what seems like a mostly D1 roster. It's kind of different from Arizona State's first couple of years where it was the club players playing up and D1 guys, right? So,
right.
And it does sound like they're actually going to have, it's not a full schedule, but they're going to have an actual decent D1 schedule for this coming year, which I don't know about you guys, but I find it to be kind of mind-boggling that they were able to actually get games in with enough places to have a decent schedule.
Yeah, I can't believe that the schedules weren't all full, that like there's enough movement to add games from with these other teams. And I figured that every schedule would be, you know, filled out and set in stone by this point in time.
Yeah, I think it's just nuts to see that they were able to pull that together. And the fact that maybe part of the COVID stuff, I don't know if anything has been canceled necessarily that they're filling in for, you know, because they're another bus trip instead of a flight for some schools, right? So you've had schools talk about canceling stuff where they have to fly instead of being.
But has there been any official announcements on that? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. So, either way, it's been impressive to see them be able to put that type of a schedule together. And maybe that's just the difference between, you know, Eastern hockey versus Western hockey that I'm not aware of, right? Maybe Eastern schools have more of a loose scheduling.
And maybe it's just a matter of some schools decided to push back a couple different things, that maybe some Eastern schools push back a flight, just and like the teams agreed to mutually push back a flight and they replaced it with LIU being able to bus up or whatever.
Right. Well, it's got to be easier to put together your schedule. You don't have to, you know, put air travel into it. So, I mean, it makes sense that they'd be able to put some of that stuff together, but to get it done that quickly is, I think, super impressive.
Agreed.
We'll see how the product is on the ice. They don't have a rink yet, from what I understand, right? They're going to use the rumors I've heard is the Islanders practice rink, basically, right?
Well, it makes sense. It's not that far, and I'm sure it's a good facility being what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't seat very many, but it'll work to start with.
Yeah, and then so Huntsville saved. I don't know what you guys think of that. I did chip in a little bit. I probably shouldn't have, since they went way over their goal and didn't need my $25 or whatever it was, but kind of felt like I should.
It was interesting to watch just some of the names go by. Like, there were recognizable names from all around college hockey on their donation thing. Like, you know, one of the names that stuck out to me is, I'm pretty sure I saw like Scott Sandlin and his wife were one of them that was on there one of the times I looked, right? So, you know, you're seeing all these different names from across the college hockey landscape come together to get them another year. My worry is that that's all they got is another year. I mean, are they going to be able to sustain or get funding to keep the program going past this season? You know, selfishly, it gets us, it lets the WCHA not have to panic, right? And you can fill out a schedule for this year, but are they
going to... And even Michigan Tech not having to worry about who's going to show up for right? Carnival.
Yeah, what do you do there? I mean, you know, that's... Can you imagine a hockey season without a carnival, without a hockey game series?
Well, we probably would have just paid LIU to show up if we had to.
Sure. But yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know if what's happened. It's good to see that their fan base and the hockey community in general came together to bring them back, but are they going to be able to keep going, you know?
Yeah, I think the issue is, unless they actually get some sort of institutional support from the University of Alabama system, it seems like they're never going to be on solid footing. They somehow, that situation needs to change, because it can't be a constant, we need to raise money every year like this. If this is a one-time thing, that's great, but there needs to be a long-term plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have the whole situation of having to find a new coach when it's this late in the process already. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think we had...
Well, they did pick up a coach, I think, right? You're talking about Huntsville. I'm sorry. LIU. LIU got the guy that's like... I'm older than him, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, I think... I know I am. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
He's like 37 or 39, something like that.
Yeah, so he's a really young guy to coach, so... But yeah,
His parents went there, so...
I don't know what Huntsville's going to do. No, that's for sure. Did they name? So they didn't name anybody yet, right?
I don't think so.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there for sure. They, I know that the whole staff basically just up and left over there, which is kind of surprising.
Well, one of the assistants stayed.
Pushed out from one of the things I read. Yeah, it was just one.
Right. It big turnover. It sounds like it was pushed by some of the bigger donors, which that's fine. But I don't. Like, I understand you want some new face, but it also seems like you're on such bad footing. Do you really want more change right now? Like, and who's going to take the job until there's, like, knowledge that there's actually a program after next year?
Right, yeah. It seems like not the place you want to jump into from a job perspective, right?
Right.
He's 29.
29. He's 29. Wow.
If I'm looking at the right thing, yeah, he's 29.
Yeah, and then that might be true. Is
younger than I thought.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's a really young coach.
Well, it makes sense that it's gonna be a young guy, because they don't have the budget to spend like the currently competitive salaries. So
And then he's got the LIU connection with his parents having gone there. So it, like, it makes sense that he would be the guy versus some of the other possible choices. So yeah, it makes some sense there. The whole dynamic between those two programs is kind of interesting, because I think LIU picked up two Huntsville players.
I believe so. Yeah.
And then it is kind of amazing. Like, I think Dustin, we were joking on Slack about wondering if Tech wanted any of those players, and you made some joke about how bad they are. Why would anybody want any of them? And then I think one of them went to Arizona State, and another one went to.
One went to Boston College.
Yeah, Boston College. So, like, there's some guys there that obviously have some potential, and who knows what how they'll end up being at those schools. But it's interesting for sure. I think the only thing really left for me to talk about is just we're going to do another monthly Zoom chat. Since it's already the 16th and I don't have it tied down right now, it might happen in early July, and then we'll just have to start doing them at the beginning of the month. So our first two were April and May with Joe Sean and John Scott. The third one is not set yet, but based on some feedback we got from our group internally, I'm going to try and line up to have it hopefully be Alec Brotzman, and maybe they'll include Trenton Bliss and Eric Goetz. We'll see if we can get that all figured out and timing for everybody to do that. But keep an eye out for that. We should announce that soon. Anything else you want to talk about, guys?
No, I said, so Dirk was on here. I'm just looking forward to hopefully having hockey in the fall. You know, it's time for sports to be back.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Time for sports. Yeah, tell that to the MLB owners already. Jeez.
Yeah.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this replay episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please let us know what you think of running replays during the offseason. You can support Tech Hockey Guide by becoming a patron. Check out all our tiers at patreon.com/techhockeyguide, including student discounted tiers. With an annual membership, students can get almost 60% off a monthly membership. Patrons at the white level or above receive question priority. Patrons at the black level or above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of every podcast and our monthly patron-only episodes. The first one dropped April 2024. Patrons at the gold level or above receive access to unfiltered YouTube video of our podcast each week. There are other ways to support the podcast, including subscribing to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people you can reach, so tell your friends. If you give us a 5-star rating, Dustin will read the review you leave, no matter what it says, so let's get some ratings and see what you have to say. Follow us on Twitter at ChasingMacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Arcadia Insurance, providing home, auto, boat, life insurance, and more to nearly all of the Midwest, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.